Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Do I press record and now it's going? I guess it's recording. Is it? Do you think it's recording?
I think it might be recording.
Wow. I'm so used to not seeing your face that, you know, this is hard for me. Really hard for me.
I bet that's not the only thing that's hard for you right now.
Roll that intro. I mean, I don't know if we'll be rolling it at all. So let's just crack on.
I don't think we can. Sorry, everyone. This one's a bit of a mess. But
we're trying something new. Hey, you asked for it. We're delivering.
We're trying to deliver.
Let's do this thing. Hi, my name's Johnny.
And my name's Chris.
Two totally average people on camera and bass players. And we're here to talk all about that bass. As well as answering your questions at home, each week we take a look at the latest news, maybe break down some tones, all to give you the lowdown on the low end. Chris, what on earth is going on here?
I have no idea, Johnny. I have absolutely no idea. This is uncharted territory for In The Pocket, but it feels good. It feels kind of natural.
I know, I like it.
It's quite nice. Like, I'm enjoying, I hate to break it to the listeners, but we can kind of see each other when we do the episodes anyway, because we're on FaceTime to each other on our phones. But this is a bit of a dry run of doing the podcast with video.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry. We should have explained for people that are just listening.
Oh, yeah.
This is our first video episode. And I say episode because we're going to do a slightly shorter one this time, just so we can kind of iron out the kinks, if you like, and test the waters, really. See what you guys think. And, see how we can make it as streamlined and as good as possible. You guys have been asking for a video, so let's give it a go. So sorry if this one's a bit shorter or a bit rough around the edges, but hey, who doesn't love two rugged guys talking about the low end, hey?
Absolutely. And listen, we're trying at the end of the day. Nobody here pays for this. This is a free service. It's like the BBC, but we don't come knocking at the door if you don't give us like £10 a month. Or is it 14? I don't know, actually.
I don't pay for one, so I don't know. No, I don't use one. It's not even connected. Not that I use it and... Please! Don't come after me.
I live with my mum and dad. Spoiler. So they pay for it. I'm pieing it off on them. It's all good.
They can probably hear you in the background.
Yeah, they probably can. Right, Johnny, how has your bass playing week been this week?
My bass playing week's been pretty good. It's been pretty quiet, I think. I got a few new bits of gear here and there. I got a Proco Rat, which I wanted for a long time. It's on a pedal board tucked away at the minute. So that's been lots of fun. Like, if you can... Those pedals are weird. If you can... Obviously, they're notorious for sucking all the low end out. But if you can get them, like, in a good context, they sound really cool.
There's a rat in the quad cortex. That sounds really weird to say out loud. It's called the... what's it called? It's not called the rodent. It's called something else that makes you think, is that a rat?
The Mickey.
Yeah, exactly. It's the Mickey
Mouse
drive.
I've seen a few that I like.
The Mickey Mouse. But if you... It's the Master Splinter drive, if you will. But that is really good. Like, there's no blend or anything like that. It's really boisterous. I was messing with... sort of splitting the frequencies.
Yeah.
And then it's like the rat is on for all the high-end stuff, and then there's like a clean DI
Classic.
At the bottom. And it sounds really cool. I need to mess around with it more, but the rat's really cool. Mm. Eva Gardner, Pink's bass player, has one pedal on her pedal board, and it is the Turbo Rat.
Really?
Which I don't know the difference.
Wow. It's just the rat, but it's like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. You know, it's
nice.
On top of that. Cup of ooze is on its way. It's like Master Splinter in pedal format.
Very good. Are you exploiting the fact that we have video available today?
Yes, I bloody am.
Explain what this is for the people who are listening.
I got a new bass. It's a Yamaha BB 42 for, and it's pretty cool. That's all I'll say.
Okay. Am I right in saying you bought one that was broken?
Yes, I bought one that was broken, and it broke my heart. Yeah, it was knackered. Absolutely knackered. So I returned it. I got a refund from the shop on Reverb. I was gutted because I bought 5-string. I was like, hey, I'm going to get back into 5-strings. Not happening. But enough about me. How was your bass-related week?
Absolutely brilliant. I have touched the bass twice for the last week and a bit. And you know what? It's been really nice. I've been doing wedding season for the last sort of 2 or 3 months. It's been really busy. I was getting... Now, I love a covers gig. I really do like a covers gig. But the last sort of 3 I did about 2 weeks ago, I was just getting bored of it. Like, I'm not ashamed to admit that. I know there's... I am very grateful that I get to do this for a job. But you can still have your dream job and have bad days at work. That's what I think, at least.
Yeah.
So... So I was doing that and just getting a bit sick of it. So the fact that there's been a bit of a break has been really nice. I got my Godan back from the repair shop finally. Turned out one of the cables had essentially come loose of the solder. So when my thumb was being put on the neck pickup, the volume's cutting out. So that's been done. Pickups have been raised to like a nice place now. It's never sounded better. It sounds so good. I've lowered the action a tiny bit. Plays really good. I got a new bass cab. I've got a nice little Ampeg 210. You can see that on my Instagram. Mm. Very happy with it. Very different sounding to the Laney 410. More than I thought. The Laney is way more scooped. It's almost like the Laney has like nothing from like 300 up to like 1K. I might be wrong there, but it seems really big and scooped with loads of treble at the top. Yeah. Whereas the Ampeg, still 10-inch speakers, just loads of mid-range. Like, I was messing around with the 500 hertz knob on the, well, it's a slider on my dark glass head, and it's great. I was really enjoying kind of turning it up, making the most of the flat wound strings, like getting like way too honky, but it was good. I quite like it. And what else have I done bass related? I went to a Metallica live stream. Metallica has a bass player, so there go. It is bass related.
Same thing, man.
Yeah, nice. And you could hear him. I know historically you can't hear the bass on Metallica albums, but you can hear Robert Trujillo live. I'm telling you that. And yeah, that was pretty good. It was like a 2-night thing. First night, actually walked out of the cinema 10 minutes into the live stream.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, because it was really bad. Like, the audio quality was really bad.
Oh.
It kept cutting in and out. It was like a live stream. It was streamed into View, the cinema chain. So I went to the one near me to watch it, and it was just terrible. Got a refund. It was that bad.
Wow.
And but came back on Monday to watch the second night. Amazing.
Really?
So good. Like, really, really good.
Two different sets then?
Yeah, two completely different set lists. It was the same venue. So it was like a venue in Texas, like this huge 100,000-seater stadium.
Huge. Mm.
And it's going to be huge. But then each night was two completely separate set lists. It was basically the download set over two nights.
Yeah.
So, which was nice because the night that I got refunded for was the same set list as when I saw Metallica at Download. So I didn't miss out that much. But then this night two was the night I wasn't at Download, where they played like Enter Sandman and One and stuff like that, and For Whom the Bell Tolls. So it was like a different vibe. They even played two songs off Saint Anger, which was sick!
Nice. Well, your little boy Chris was very, very happy, as well as
absolutely had a great time.
Amazing.
But yes, that was my week to conclude.
Well, that sounds flipping smashing. Shall we move on to the news?
I think we should play the jingle.
Oh no, we've got to sing it now.
I can't remember how any of them go now. Which jingle goes next? I can't remember.
I used to move them around every episode. Used to move them all around. So I don't know.
Really? Oh, I kept the same ones every time. Bum 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 bum. There we go, that'll do. Okay. Play the news.
First up on In the Pocket News. Right, it's been quite a busy week, and some things have just squeezed in to this week's episode. I'm going to start things off with Spectre. Spectre, literally like a few hours before we're recording this, or at least that's when I saw it, have announced some new high-performance series bases in the NS Dimension and the NS Ethos range. So for those that don't know, Spectre's kind of range, the Ethos is more their standard, like, normal-looking bases in 4s and 5s with normal pickups in a straight line and normal straight frets. The Dimension series, on the other hand, is their fan-fretted kind of dingwall answer bass, I'd say, with two soap bars kind of at an angle to match the fan-fretted nature and that single piece bridges that you get on them as well. Yeah, I don't really know much about these because they've literally just been announced, but they're looking pretty sweet, I gotta say. There's a really cool, like, a gloss purple that they've got on there. The other colors aren't blowing me away. I really like the gunmetal gloss that they've got on there. I really like silver bases at the minute. They've got quite the vibe. But yeah, each are EMG loaded. The preamps on these look pretty simple. They've got, oh yeah, I can see it now, the EMG DC pickups and a dark glass tone capsule in the multi-scale one. So that's pretty cool. I'm just going to check if the other one also has. Yes, they both have the dark glass tone capsule. So yeah, they're really going for that kind of aggressive metal sound with these for sure. Yeah, pretty cool. I believe they are on the more expensive side. So I can't see myself picking one up anytime soon because, shocker, I've not yet tried a Spectre. Have you?
I've never touched a Spectre bass in my entire life, I believe. No, don't think I have, actually. How much are these?
That is a fantastic question, Chris. Let me find out for you.
Okay. Maybe. One day. I don't know how we do this, but I wonder if you can, like, screen share.
I think I can, you know.
This. Oh, yeah. Cool. Okay.
I think I can.
That might be
go?
Cool, because in the future, we can, like, pop up what we're talking about.
Yes, yeah, that would be amazing.
And make it even more confusing for the people who aren't watching the podcast.
Right, I'm gonna bloody give it. I got to close Google to do it for the preferences.
Oh, okay. Maybe next time we'll do that. But
next time,
do you know how much these are?
Let me find that out for you right now.
Okay. I will now speak while we do this.
Yes, please.
Okay. I have never tried a Spectre. I'm curious to know how much these cost, because obviously the multi-scale version with the dark glass preamp is quite clearly going after Dingwall, or at least tapping into some part of that market. But my understanding is the retail price of a Dingwall is going up anyway. I don't know how much by, but I know it's going up. Like, they used to go for a 5-string NG3 was about £1,700-1,800, I think.
Wow.
I think that's going up now. I mean, I got my 5-string NG2 for about, I think I paid about £1,100 for it, but that's because it was secondhand, obviously, it's different. But I believe the prices are going up. Not confirmed, it's just I heard it somewhere, and I can't even remember where. So I would be very curious to see where Spectre is aiming to land these. Yeah. Whether they're trying to be above the Dingwall and argue it's a better instrument and get it that way. Maybe it's a US-made instrument, that etc., etc. Or are they trying to undercut the Dingwall market and basically, like, you know, kick the legs in from underneath them?
Yeah. I mean, that would be the smart decision, I think, if they're going after that market, really. Do you really want to go in with less brand recognition in that market? And not do that? I don't know. That seems silly. I would have thought they're in, like, the 1500 to 1800 mark. I'm just guessing there based on specs and things like that. I cannot find a price. It doesn't seem like it has been announced anywhere yet. I haven't watched any of the promo videos and things like that, but yeah, keep an eye out. They're not up for sale yet, I don't believe. So hang on.
Oh,
news is coming in. I have found one on Sweetwater. Has come in at, oh, what did I say? Between $1,500 and $1,800. $1,800.
Ooh.
This one. So I reckon my price was about right with that. Not far off at all.
Interesting. In that case, that is Dingwall money. Maybe just under, depending on what it is. So yeah, interesting. We will see where that turns out. I have it from a somewhat trusted authority, though, that they tried the older Spectre Dimension, which granted has a different preamp to this, and they said it was rubbish.
Yeah, I've not been that impressed with them. It's got Fishman Fluent pickups in the bass ones.
This person, who I will not name, my confidential source, basically told me it was like the bass was like smashing a limiter. Constantly.
Oh, really?
Everything was like, when you picked harder, you ran out of headroom and it just started to peak and distort, like you were kind of like, you know when you like slap too hard and you just like punch the string? It was like that kind of sound, but with your fingers. So that's obviously not great.
Yeah,
but
that's
we'll
shame,
see. That might not be the case.
Yeah, I've always been quite enamored by Spectres, and I've always wanted like a 5-string one with EMGs in it or something. Like I love the sound. I think that they're pretty cool. I don't think they look right in 4-strings. One of those basses that I think it needs to be a 5-string. So if I was going to have a 5-string, I would like to try one of those. And as that Yamaha died, maybe it's time to spend like £1,800.
Maybe.
No. I'm going to move on because speaking of dark glass, in that bass, there is also dark glass in another bass that's been launched this week. I know. Do you remember the Dark Ray?
I do remember the Dark Ray.
Well, strap yourselves in because it's back, baby. Oh boy. So Music Man liked to do this thing called the BFR collection, so the Ball Family Reserve collection. So these are very, very unique pieces. There are often like offcuts of what people have designed, and then it's not gone into production, or it's like, okay, we've got this master built one here that we're just doing like very, very limited runs of, or it might be like artist models that didn't end up working and things like that. They do it every season. So now this is the summer range. They've only brought 3 out, one of which is a bass, and that bass is another version of the Dark Ray, this time in Shadow Carina, they're calling it. So if you wanted a Dark Ray but you weren't keen on the finishes, this might be your chance to get one. It's essentially the same bass, but with a Carina body this time. So it's like an all-natural Stingray with matte black hardware and everything else. And yeah, it's just a really, really incredible looking wood grain natural Stingray with everything else just so aggressive about it. Have you had a look at this one, Chris?
I have, and it looks very nice. I liked the look of the original Dark Ray as well. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily like the idea of the onboard distortion, though, because for me, it was like you are removing the opportunity of like capturing like a DI and that sound. Or you're kind of, because it's baked in, because it's coming straight from the source material. I mean, live maybe, that would be cool, because you could just turn it on and that would be fine, but no one would let me record with that bass if I had that, because they'd be like, I can't use it.
Yeah, and how are you turning it on, you know? I hope there's a pause so I can push the button, you know?
Well, I mean, I'm used to, like, obviously starting off as a guitarist, you get pretty used to kind of like flicking between pickups while you're playing. So, you know, in between a strum, quickly like catching the net pickup and then going back down again. So I mean, it would be fine, but it's not going to be as easy as turning on and off a pedal with your foot.
Yeah, it's not a not ideal idea for me. That's what gives me the ick about it a little bit. I'm like, ah, that wouldn't, that removes my enjoyment of pedals and how I use them. But anyway, this one is $3,099. So yeah, not cheap. These are very limited run.
Oh yeah, we'll get two
things. Yeah, we'll get one each. Dark Glass and famous fans of the show, Dark Glass, please hit us up with one of those. Speak nicely to Music Man. Let's stay in the realm of like heavy music now and look at Solar guitars. Solar. They have just brought out three new basses. Now, I actually, this might be very naive of me, I've never checked out their basses. I was aware of their guitars, but never really considered their basses at all. And so I'm just having a look on their website and yeah, okay, I hear you, Solar. These are looking pretty cool. Obviously very metal orientated, so I'm not getting one, like they're not my vibe totally, but I can appreciate, and yeah, I think they're nice for what they are. There's one in particular I would like to talk about, but first let's have a look at these new ones. We've got the AB14ROP. Oh my, we're doing an Ibanez here. And an .5 B.
Oh, come on. We're doing decimals now.
0.2. Oh, there's a left-handed version as well, which is great.
Oh, that's nice.
Interestingly, oh no, they are slightly different. Gosh, why did they do this? The left-handed version is $800. The four-string is $1,300 and the five string is $1,400. I don't know what's different about that left-handed. Maybe they're like, you guys need a break. It's okay.
I mean, I hope that's the reason. I genuinely hope there's no change. And it's just, it was left-handed and someone went, yeah, come on, let's give these guys a break because they get literally nothing as a left-handed player.
Fair enough. Yeah, these come with EMGs built in and the matching preamp for that as well. So spec-wise, you're not looking at anything like crazy here. But yeah, these, for someone, this is going to be like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm after. I absolutely love the aesthetic. Perfect. I am just going to have a look at the left-handed one just to make sure I haven't misspecced it at all, or because it must be, that's quite a lot cheaper, so it must be simpler in a way. Pickups, yes, okay, they're not EMGs in the left-handed one. It is a more affordable bass on this one, so it's got their own soap bar pickups in it, so slightly different sounds you'll get out of these, and only available in the kind of all matte black finish. So yeah, some good news for left-handed, but maybe not. I don't know if that's a previous version they do. However, I have just noticed one that's black with like a roasted maple neck, which looks bloody nice. Looks so good. If you want to check it out, it's the AB2.5BOP. Perfect. What are they doing with these things, man? Honestly, why can't you just call it like the Solar Bass? Done.
I know. I miss them having like names now. Yeah. Everything's like a serial number. It's code for something. Like, oh, just get, call it like the angry one and the really angry one. But yeah, I like solar guitars. I think the basses are really cool.
Yeah,
I think they're all the basses are 35 inch scale instead of 34.
Oh, that's good.
Because I was considering for quite a while buying a five string before I'd considered like going down the Dingwall route. I had looked at them, and I think the reason why I decided not to in the end was I thought, if I end up playing this in a non-heavy music scenario, it's going to look a bit too heavy music.
Yeah.
Whereas hilariously, the Dingwall, despite it being a Dingwall, doesn't really look that metal, I don't think. Like, it's black with a maple neck. And it just looks like, from a distance, just like a black bass.
Yours is quite subtle, I think.
Well, that's why I was really happy I could find the black one, because it's like, I can rock a wedding with the Dingwall, and no one's going to go, Oh my God, what has that man got there?
There's a luminous green bass guitar.
Exactly. Yeah. As much as I would like one of those like swirl designs they did, or one of the really crazy Z-free custom shops, can't really afford that. And also, like, it's fine. A black bass in my line of work is usually a pretty good idea.
We can't hear you, and we don't want to see you either.
Absolutely.
So you stay in the back.
Stand behind the drummer.
Let's move on to the final bit of news, and I would argue probably the biggest bit of news in terms of like shaking the internet, and that is the brand new signature Jaguar bass for Mike Kerr from Fender. It's been on the horizon for a long time. People have been asking for this for a while, and ever since his kind of custom models have been turning up on Royal Blood's sets playing live, people have been like, what is that? When can we have it? Here it is. Limited edition. I don't know how many they're limiting it to. I've seen lots popping up online, though, of people getting them. I assume it's made in Mexico. It's orange, it's gold, it's black. 30-inch scale, short scale with what looks like the big, wide-open humbucker in the middle position, and then a smaller single coil in the bridge. So it's kind of a mix between pickup-wise, like the Squire Rascal and the Gretsch Electromatic Junior Jet, which is what he famously used in the kind of more early days. It's kind of a combination of all different bases he's had over the years in this vibrant blood orange finish. So very, very cool. What were your thoughts on this when it got announced, first of all?
I actually thought it had already been out. So when I saw it, I thought we already had one of those. Like, genuinely, I thought he already had, like, a signature Jaguar bass. I actually thought he did. So I was a bit surprised, naturally. But it looks really cool. I really like it. Love the colour. I bet it sounds really cool. I am yet to try a short scale. I would like to try a short scale. But I feel like the short scale I would want to try.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Try and potentially buy would not be this. Not that there's anything wrong with this new signature model. I just think if I was going to buy a short scale, I'd be going for like the Mustang with like the flat wound strings on it or the tape wounds or something like that. You know, really picky, kind of like chunky, like warm bass sound. Not like a Royal Blood thing, which is like a really gnarly guitar tone with a bass alongside it. But yes, it looks really cool. I won't be buying one. Kind of want one though still. It does look cool.
It's very cool, yeah.
Rock a wedding with that, absolutely.
Hell yeah. It's about... it is made in Mexico, and like we kind of had in the other more recent artist models, one of the Mexican-made bases, which is over £1,500. So it's £1,549 on Fender's website at the moment.
Fur wallop for Mexico. Yes. That's a fur wallop.
Yeah, for sure. I think I really like everything about this. I have listened to a few demos online, and I'll be honest, I'm not that impressed. Like,
oh really?
Yeah. Well. Thing is, I bet that sounds fantastic in the context of Royal Blood and Mike Kerr's setup and what ultimately what that bass is built to do, you know, Like, it's built to be in that band and be perfect for him. So unless you're doing that, is it going to be that good? And from what I've heard of, like, people just, like, clicking away on it and playing, I'm like, oh, this doesn't sound very good. It's only until then you whack on the distortion, you bi-amp it, and that it sounds, like, incredible. So, yeah, I'm hesitant to, like, give it my seal of a blessing. Like, yes, this is great, because I... Yeah, it's a weird one in sound, and the pickups are strange, but it does, you know, if he was going to release one, this is it, you know? It's going to be that, and this will sell. People will be like, yes, I want it. Anyone that's wanting to replicate that kind of sound is perfect for that, of course. The shorter scale gives you more, like, guitar-like qualities as well, for you to bend strings a bit more and perhaps be a bit more fluid in that regard. And I do want to talk about the case as well.
I want to talk about the case as well for two reasons.
Yeah.
I'll give you my reason, and then I think I'll give the reason you're going to give.
Okay. You go for it.
I'm paying £1,500. Why is it in a gig bag? And they're not the only people to do that, because when I bought my PRS guitar ages ago for, I think, about £1,800, that just came in the same gig bag that the SE models came with. And I was a bit mad in the shop, being like, you're going to give me a case, right? And they were like, no, it comes with a gig bag. Like, what? So great. That's my reason why I think that's silly. Like, you deserve a proper Fender hard case. You know, like with the locks on it and...
Yeah.
Like, you deserve a good case for that money. But go on, tell me your reason.
The other reason is the inside of it.
Is well cool.
Yeah. It's not just a gig bag, Chris. It's probably the coolest gig bag I've ever seen, because it is lined with tiger print, which is, well, I assume it's tiger print. The thing's got tigers all over it. It looks more like a cheetah, but yeah, pretty damn cool.
If Hugh Hefner made a gig bag, it would look like that.
That's the one, and the bass inside would be pink and probably a bit naked.
Absolutely.
How does a bass become naked? No pick guard?
No pickup covers.
Oh, gosh.
Or, no. Literally, knob out, as in no cover for the control.
Oh, I see. So the knob's out.
Yeah, the knob is out. Exactly. Knob's that. Exposed pickup covers. Absolutely no scratch plate. Mm-mm. Yeah, I'd say that would qualify as it being naked, I would say.
Nice. Well, I think we should try and get the most naked, attractive bass that we can find.
Absolutely. Go on Naked Attraction, and it's just a jazz bass with no...
See, all the potential partners just disappear.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a normal bass. No. No, thank you.
Oh, but sir, this is a 1960-something Rickenbacker blah, blah, blah... Previously owned by Geddy Lee. I'm not interested.
Oh, they're kissing someone else. Okay.
Yep. Whoops. Sir, this is Paul McCartney's Hofner. I don't care.
Yeah. No, not for me. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Exactly.
That pretty much wraps up the news overall. And as we're talking about that signature bass, I thought it would be only fitting to have this next big bass debate. Shall we roll the non-existent interlude now and swiftly and smoothly move on?
Yeah, I think we should. How does that last one go? Like, do no 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 no
no no no no no no no no. Well, fun fact, that was played on a Gretsch Electromatic bass, which Mike also had.
And you can tell. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, exactly. That gives me a good starting point, actually, because, well, do you want to read the question?
I would love to actually read the question, but for those of you watching at home, my phone has died. The reason my phone has died is before me and Johnny sat down to record this episode, we spent an hour messing around trying to get my camera to work, and it didn't. So that's why we're doing this on a webcam. I still think it looks pretty good.
This is
however, we sat on FaceTime for a good hour trying to work it out, and it's just killed my phone. So I can't read the actual question, but I remember the question itself. So the topic of this week's Big Bass Debate is essentially thoughts on Signature Series basses.
Mm.
Would you like to go first, Johnny? Because my answer is, as usual, fairly short and to the point.
Just like you, my friend.
Yep, that's alarmingly accurate.
My point that I was going to go on to straight from that segment is about that Gretsch. So let's imagine Mike Kerr in this situation. He's been well known for using that bass. It's a super affordable bass, and fans absolutely loved that. Like, they went wild because they're like, oh my God, he's using this bass, which is super cheap. I can replicate his sound next, you know, not quite, but like, I can be him, but like, not a lot of money. And this is great. Oh, amazing. And then, you know, I was imagining, you know, what an absolute baller move that would be if he did a Gretsch short scale, affordable Gretsch. Like, that would sell so well, so well. So then why release a 1500 quid SIG? I don't know. Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, but at which level are you, you know, you're going to make more money from having a cheaper product and selling more, or selling not so many of an expensive product? You know, there's a balance where that the scales are tipped on that. You know, business 101. But he is now aligned with Fender and has been playing Fenders for a long time now. So I can see why he'd gone with that. But my point being is that that's one of the things that really grinds my gears about signature basses, is that they're often, I guess it's because they're so like custom spec, that they're just like so expensive. And I have never looked at someone's bass and gone like, yeah, I want that. I'll have that, what they've spec'd out. It just, there's something in my brain that goes, nope, they've spec'd that. Nope, I don't want it.
Interesting. Two thoughts on this. In the bass department, I agree with you 100%. I've never seen a signature bass, to my knowledge, that I've gone, oh, I like that. In fact, I think I liked the Troy Sanders Fender. I thought that was lovely. Mm-hmm. But a bit too expensive. The Frank Bello Charvel,
yep,
is pretty cool. However, the lack of tone knob is unforgivable. In my opinion, unforgivable. Obviously, for good old Frank, it's fine for him, because who's messing with the tone pot when you're in Amphrax? You know, it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
But yeah, with basses, there's a lot of, like, I've never really been that bothered by any of the signature models. The Nate Mendel P bass, the Foo Fighters one, that's pretty cool. But at the end of the day, that's a P bass with a quarter pounder in it, and that's it.
And a high mass bridge.
So it's not like really a massive overhaul. Like the Mono Neon Jazz bass, I'm not keen personally, because that is super burrowed down into the niche of Mono Neon. Mm. However, there are a lot more examples I can think of in guitar land where it's a signature model, but it's been done really well to the point where you don't have to be a fan of that artist and enjoy the guitar. So, yeah, for example, like the main ones that jump out at me is all of the Slash models, like the Slash Les Pauls. Most of them don't have any paraphernalia attached to Slash on them. They might have a truss rod cover that you can take off, and that's it.
In the shape of a top hat.
Exactly, yeah. The Mark Tremonti from Alter Bridge, he was the second ever signature PRS artist ever.
Wow.
And his Tremonti model has been going for ages and ages and ages. There is no affiliation with him on the front of the guitar, I believe. I think there might be his name on the back as like the model number, or the model name and number. And then again, there's a truss rod cover, you know, up by the headstock that you can just unscrew if you're not that bothered. And then the last one, more recently, is John Mayer's PRS, the Silver Sky.
Mm.
that has very little affiliation to John Mayer visually. Obviously, you see it and go, oh yeah, that's the John Mayer signature guitar, blah, 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 blah. But when you actually like, but if you're not like a fan of John Mayer, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So I feel like the guitar world is doing it a little bit better in that example in terms of like essentially more money. Oh, and the, oh, I completely forgot. Jim Root from Slipknot, his whole Telecaster and Jazzmaster series. Again, you see people who aren't even in metal bands playing those guitars because they've been designed, I think, in a really business, I can't speak today. They've been designed in a really business savvy way where we've eliminated the need for you to be a fan of that artist and enjoy the bass. Like Mike Kerr, for example, has plastered the Royal Blood logo all over the bass. It's on the back. You can tell it's got an association with Mike Kerr and Royal Blood, meaning you run the risk of, if you don't like Royal Blood or you think Mike Kerr's a bit of a dick, which I feel like a lot of people do at the moment when they did that Radio 1 Biggs Weekender and they just flipped everyone off and they were gobbing off and stuff. You know, if you're not a fan of like, if you're not like that artist, it runs the risk of you just not bothering buying it because it's almost like a kind of, well, that's not my football team, so I'm not going to buy the shirt.
Yeah.
That's how it feels to me. So, yeah, overall, signature basses, not really that bothered. And I think if, obviously, in the future, best case, if I was ever approached to do a signature model, I think there would be very little association with me on the product. Like, I would do, it'd be to my specs, and then maybe, I don't know, underneath the control cavity might be my signature or something.
Because that's, you know, where all the knobs are.
Exactly, that's where I live. Surrounded by knobs. But I would rather do that. And also, I actually think that would sell more because it means you can just sit down and go, oh, this is a really nice bass. I don't listen to this guy's music. Yeah. It doesn't interest me. But the bass is cool, so I'm going to get it.
Yeah. And like, even if something is quite inconspicuous and not like outlandish and too like, this is our signature model, you know, when you look at it, for me, I don't know what it is. I just get this feeling like it's not going to gel with me, or it's not like, I don't know what it is. Like, it's been, I feel like I'm cheating. You know, this is someone else's partner here that I'm playing with. I have this weird ownership thing about guitars where it's got to feel right to me, and like I've got to really enjoy playing it. I just thought of an example of a bass signature model as well that is quite popular. The Jack Cassidy.
Oh yeah,
Epiphone. You know,
but that's what I mean. That's a really iconic model. I don't know what Jack Cassidy looks like. I just know there's the Jack Cassidy. Well, then you've also got the Justin Mendel Johnson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, the Lee Sklar Dingwall and the Lee Sklar Warwick don't have any association to him. Mm. They just look like extra production models by that company. But that's clearly in the Dingwall, for example. That's I don't know what it's based on. Is it a Z3? No. Is it an Afterburner?
Afterburner, I think.
Yeah, I think it's just an Afterburner that's kind of got like his pickups of choice, and it comes with the is it called? It's not called the B bender. The drop thing, you know, on the headstock.
Yes.
I forgot the name of it. Where you can take the low B down to A.
Like a drop tuner.
Yeah, it's a something drop tuner. I've completely forgot who makes it. Billy Sheehan's got one. Hipshot, there we go. He talks about using that a lot because there were loads of examples where like they'd be playing and then all of a sudden it'd be like, kind of need like a low B flat here or a low A, for example, for film music. And you go, yeah, no problem. Click, and then it's open low A, which is kind of down in the lower range of a piano as well. So it works for him.
Yeah.
It's easier live. But yeah, but again, it's not like got his face on the front of it or anything silly like that. But that's what I mean. It's like the mono neon, to mention it again, the mono neon one, doesn't work for me at all because it's quite clearly designed after him, because it's got that bright yellow and pink aesthetic. It's really brash. Mm. And I'm like, it's like walking around in like a full Manchester United kit. It's like, I know who your football team is. It's fairly obvious.
I think that can be the case with some more subtle models as well, though, like the Mark Hoppus jazz bass. Like, that I suppose that's only the case if you know. Like, if you know, you know. Like, that's a Mark Hoppus jazz bass. Like, is that, you know, have some originality of yourself, you know, like, really? that is my inside voice I get when, if I pick up a signature bass, I'm like, oh, people are probably thinking, like, really? You're just going to play someone else's bass?
Or you're like, sounds a like really a hardcore Blink-182 super fan.
Yeah.
And if you're not, people might go, oh, I can't believe he doesn't know how to play Damn It or something like that. Or, you know, like that kind of thing. It's like, oh, you must really like Blink-182. It's like, well, I think they're all right. It's a good bass. Shut up.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're wearing a band t-shirt for a band you don't listen to. And then someone going, name three songs.
Actually. Yeah.
Which, totally for the record, right. I actually want someone to do to me one day. I want to start wearing a band t-shirt for a band that I don't listen to or actively dislike, just for someone to go, I bet you don't know three albums by them, and go, nope, I got no idea, never listen to them, and then walk off.
She'd do it, but with like a Taylor Swift t-shirt. Like, normally it's some indie band or a metal band, but no, do it like...
Well, the problem is I listen to Taylor Swift, so I'm not going to be able to get around that, unfortunately.
That's true. Did you know I'm going to see her?
Are you?
Yeah, man. We got Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
And then Taylor Swift the week after.
Nice. Whereabouts? In Cardiff, I assume? Or...
Indeed, in Cardiff. Yes.
Lovely. I was considering it, but I've decided not to because I can't afford it.
It's bloody expensive, let me tell you. Oh, yeah. When they got the tickets and I was like, oh, cool. They told me how much. I was like, oh, not so cool.
But am I right in saying it was about £200?
Just under, yeah.
Oh, I mean, I've heard it's like a 3.5 hour show, and it's like one of the best productions ever done. So,
and Paramore are supporting as well. So
right, come on then. Like, that's different. It's like I really wished Metallica brought the European tour as a UK date. They didn't. They just did Download instead, because that would have been Mammoth Van Halen, Architects, and then 2.5 hours of Metallica. So for me, that would have been like absolutely worth the money, 100%. But no, instead I got a Download, which was still great. But if someone said to me, do you want to do one day of Download or do you want the Metallica concert, I probably would have still taken the Metallica concert, because I didn't get to see Architects because they didn't play the Friday, and I really like Architects. I'm actually, in 2 days from now, time of recording, going to try and buy Architects tickets for the tour they are doing early next year in Amsterdam.
Shut up. I'm doing the same.
No, you're not.
Not for Amsterdam, though.
Oh, which one are you going for?
I don't know. I literally saw the lineup and was like, ooh, we
would... No, Johnny, I really would consider Amsterdam if I were you. It's not expensive.
Oh, but the problem is we've been before and Lily's been like five times.
I went about 8 weeks ago, and if someone said, do you want to go next week, I'd go.
Yeah, of course you did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're...
I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah, it is awesome. Yeah, we had a great time. I literally just started the conversation about that yesterday and was like,
I'll be there, so...
Live podcast at Architects?
In a hotel room.
Where all the best things happen.
Absolutely. Oh, Dawn, I actually really want you to now. Like, seriously.
That'd be insane.
Think about it. Think, you got 2 days.
This is true.
Say to Lily, Chris is going.
She's like,
well, then we are.
Pack my bag now.
Yeah. You bring the rabbits. I'll bring the dog. Sorted.
Perfect. Is there anything else you want to say about signature
bases? Not really.
There's one more thing I want to say. I would love to see a resurgence of the like affordable artist series like we did in Squire back in the day. Like, imagine if we were getting like paranormal series quality Squires now, but with like signature influence as well. I think that would be awesome. I think.
Yeah, I miss the days when you used to get like, again, to mention Guitar Land, you used to get like the Epiphone version, the Gibson version,
yeah,
and then like the custom shop version. Because Slash did this, like Epiphone / Les Paul was going to be one of the first guitars I ever bought. I ended up getting one further down from that, but it was only like 50 quid less. Mm. But you used to get like a 400 quid one, a 900 quid, maybe 1500 quid one, and then like a $4,000 bells and whistles.
Yeah.
And then now you just get a cheaper version of the middle one for a bit more money than... So you get less instruments, but it's priced higher than what it used to be.
I'd like to see a cheap one and then the like master built one. You know, like cut out that middle one.
I want three. I want a Squire one. I want a top end Mexican one, but not for 1500 quid. You should not be paying.
Perfect.
You should not be paying 1500 quid for a Mexican instrument or a Chinese or Asian market built one. I think they really should be sat around the grand mark or just over. I think for me that's fair. And then they should go straight up at like $4,000 for kind of like the bells and whistles. And then what I want to do is I think they should almost punish the artist and be like, because a really good example of this is Matt Hafey from Trivium regularly tours with the Epiphone version of his signature model.
Yeah.
And I think that they should say to the bass player, if you really want this signature deal, Mr. Dibble, you must tour for 12 months with the Squire version of your instrument to prove it's a good enough standard for a working professional musician, and then you can gig with the $3,000 monster version. I think that's my opinion. If someone said that to me, I'd be like, fair enough, I will happily do that. Because it also proves that the Squire version is definitely worth the money. Because someone who's going out and playing presumably quite big venues can gig with it.
That's always been a bit of a thing where someone's got their like cheaper SIG and then someone's gone, yeah, but they're playing the custom shop version live.
Yeah. You know, or they don't even play the signature version. They play like a custom shop guitar that was trickled down into.
Yeah, or they're playing the original one, what this cheap one is based on. You know?
Yeah, I don't think they should do that.
No. Yeah. I think they should go balls deep, you know, endorse it.
Absolutely. And I think you saying balls deep is a great way and great place to end this trial run of video in the pocket.
I would like nothing more.
Absolutely.
That sounded super rude. I'm so sorry, Chris. I didn't mean it like that.
That's all right, Dory.
Thank you so much, everyone, for sticking around and looking at our ugly mugs or listening to our hideous voices. If you're doing so on your podcast listening platform of choice, if it is that you are so doing, please leave us a 5-star review. It really helps us reach more people with algorithms, etc. If you're watching this one on YouTube, let us know in a comment down below what you thought about this and any questions you might have moving forward. We also take questions on our Instagram pages. You can follow me at Johnny Dibble and Chris at That Guy on Bass. Chris, what have you got going on at the minute? And tell people where else they can find you.
Many things are happening in the Dala camp at the moment. For those of you who don't know, I'm in a band called Dala. I think it's really good, but it'd be a bit weird if I thought it was a bit shit, don't you think? So I'm in a band called Dala. At the point of this coming out, we already have 2 singles out. Maybe there might be another one in the near future. I could not possibly comment. And maybe that one has a guest feature on it. So, it's Johnny. We're playing a song that is so easy, we got Johnny to do it.
Perfect.
It'll probably get more views anyway. So if you wouldn't mind, check us out. If you like it, drop us a follow. That'd be very nice. If you don't like it, it's fine. Just don't tell me because I don't want to know. And yeah, you can find me on everywhere else under That Guy on Bass. Back over to you, Jonathan Dibble.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, all I have left to say is, everyone, thank you so much for watching, listening. We'll see you next time.
Ta-ta!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.